Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your word of truth. For your word tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. If anyone listening tonight, and they just heard those wonderful words, the gospel of their salvation, we pray right now that they'll put their faith and total trust in it and receive eternal life. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight, we're going to get right into our lesson. Tonight's lesson will come from 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. And this is Apostle Paul, and he's recording these words as we get into our lesson tonight. He said, "Now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wroth with labor and travel night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example for you, unto you to follow us. And for verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man, any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as your brother." The importance of work in the dispensation of grace and in the body of Christ, God's agenda always included work. My brothers and sisters, God's agenda always included work. Babes in Christ must get into the deeper doctrines of Scripture, my brothers and sisters, and not just rely on basic concepts of the word like doctrine in the Old Testament and the four Gospels. Every believer needs to know the mysteries, secrets that only can be found in Paul's 13 epistles. Believers in Christ today are stewards, managers of the mysteries of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2, verses 1-2, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Christians should understand these grace doctrines, the doctrines found in Romans through Philemon, and they should be telling others about them. However, very few church members know anything about the mysteries of Paul's writings, for church tradition does not recognize the special ministry the ascended Lord gave unto the Apostle Paul. God said of Israel, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge," Hosea 4:6. God says the same thing about the church, the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. God says the same thing about the church, the body of Christ today. Paul refers to the idle or the inactive this way in our text. Look at what Paul said. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. This is the third problem which Paul had addressed in 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 1, Paul addressed the problem of persecution. He declared that persecution not only proved the saints worthy of the Lord's coming, deliverance and blessings, but it also revealed that the unbelievers who persecuted them were worthy of God's coming wrath. In chapter 2, my brothers and sisters, in chapter 2, Paul corrected the error that the day of the Lord had already come by pointing out that those which must, my brothers and sisters, he corrected this error. In chapter 2, he corrected the error that the day of the Lord had already come. I point out those things which must precede the Lord's second coming had not yet occurred. And now in chapter 3, Paul deals with the problem of those who fail to work and thus became dependent on the labors of others. We aren't called to be bench warmers and busybodies. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-14, and we beseech you, brothers, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn them that are unruly, my brothers, comfort the feeble mind and support the weak, be patient towards all men. Those who don't serve and invest in the church, as a result, have too much time on their hands and often end up causing trouble and problems. We were not called to be bench warmers or pew warmers. We were called to serve. The Apostle Paul had a good deal to say both to the people who worked hard in the ministry and to the people who were spiritually idle. In creation, my brothers and sisters, you can see work. One of the first portraits of God in Genesis is as a worker, fashioning the world in his wisdom. Genesis 2:2-3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And then in Genesis 2:15, look at what the word of God says. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The most notable thing about that verse is that it takes place before the fall. I hope folks notice that. God's agenda always had work included. Work is not a result of sin. It is part of God's original design for humanity. The word dressed in Genesis 2:15 is actually the word for work or service. The word keep in Genesis 2:15 carried the idea of care or protection. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to work in it and to care for it. God knew that idleness was not good for mankind. And so he assigned to Adam the responsibility of dressing the garden. No excuse for us not to work. The freeloaders Paul speaks of here are Christians. In other words, lazy Christians is what Paul is talking about. Paul says in 2 Timothy, he told us to study now, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what does a workman do? He work. A workman work. Bible study is very important. But 2 Timothy 2:15 is not just a command to study the Bible. Being an approved workman involves much work. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that to be a workman that God could approve, he would have to be diligent in his service to God. Studying takes work and time in God's word. God is not the kind of God that accepts shoddy work. By earnestly applying himself in service, Timothy would not need to be ashamed as he stood before God in the day of judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. To be that diligent, approved workman, he would have to correctly handle the word of truth. And I want to stop and make sure everyone that I'm coming clearly across the line tonight. If I'm not, somebody let me know. I saw my uncle trying to get in a little earlier, so I don't know if something was going on. But if I'm not coming across, someone let me know. Amen. Studying takes work and time. Now, God does not accept shoddy work, my brothers and sisters. To be diligent, approved workman, he would have to correctly handle the word of truth. If you have a physical trainer, he or she would not come and let you sit on the couch and eat potato chips. They would make your life harder. They would stack on more weights. They would demand you work out for longer, encourage you to keep exercising and eating right to get physically stronger. In the same way, the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us make our spiritual life stronger in the word of truth if you would allow him. His job is to make us spiritually fit for spiritual battle that we will be engaged in until we leave this earth. The enemy has deceived many in the body of Christ and to think that living the Christian life as a new creature in Christ is associated with going to church on Sunday, making it out to midweek service, or being known, my brothers, for always having a timely scripture ready to go. The Apostle Paul says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God, Romans 12:2. Scripture is eternal life and truth, and God's Word holds transformational power that changed the mind and thus changed the lifestyle of the Christian walk. That's what the lost need to hear. And that's what those who don't know God's word, right, divide, and those who don't know God's word, they need to understand that. And if they understood that, they wouldn't be asking the question why of what's going on in the world today. Why is it so much killing? Why is it so much heartache and pain? If they only understood and got in the book, my brothers and sisters, let us not be lazy-minded Christians. There is no room for laziness in the life of a Christian. A believer can become idle if he erroneously believes God expects no fruit from a transformed life. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Freeloaders are ABC Christians. They have very limited understanding of spiritual truths. And they are the first ones to whine and complain if you try to lead them deeper into deeper truths of God's word. Signs. Signs of lazy Christians. Sluggers or freeloaders. They've been using the same few Bible scriptures for the past 10, 15, or 20 years. When a preacher or teacher call a Bible book, they usually have to go to the table of content to find it. The Bible they bought 10 years ago still looks like it's never been opened. Once the scripture is called out, they are looking around trying not to be noticed since they haven't found the scripture from 2 minutes ago. When the preacher or the teacher says, "Do you have it?" they says, "Yes," while still trying to find it. So they ease over to the table of content, slowly trying not to be noticed. They open their Bibles when they come to the assembly and don't pick it up until the next time they come to the assembly. An entire day goes by and you haven't given the word of God any study time and thought until it's time for bed. And you can't keep your eyes open and you are feeling guilty because you didn't do any studying when you had plenty of time to do so. So if you open your Bibles tired, and before you know it, you wake up an hour later, you know how folks do, they want to grab the Bible because they're feeling guilty. They haven't given the Lord any time. They haven't studied their word. So they go and get the Bible when they're tired, ready to go to bed. And before you know it, you wake up an hour later, hours from sleeping, and your Bible's laying right there next to you, and you haven't learned anything. You put the Bible up and you go to sleep. You feel bored when you read the Bible because there is no desire to study and grow in the Word of God. Many can't even remember the last time they had a dedicated study time. You can talk extensively about the things of the world. Now, in this study, the Apostle Paul twice in 2 Thessalonians, he invokes the name of Jesus to communicate his seriousness on the importance of work. He invokes the name of Jesus in verse 6. He said, "Now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He invokes the name of Jesus. He said, verse 12, "Now then, as such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul talking, this is serious, my brothers and sisters. What makes Paul's instructions regarding work so forceful is that he practiced what he preached. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul ties the impact of the gospel that was preached in Thessalonica with the work ethic and the lifestyle of those who proclaimed it, which of course included Paul. Paul's words here carry even greater weight with readers today, for they are supplemented by Paul's other reference to the same practices elsewhere, especially as mentioned in Acts 20, 30 through 35, 33 through 35. If you read that, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or pearl. Yet ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul frequently set aside his right to be paid for the ministry, choosing instead to labor night and day to support himself and others. Not only did Paul set an example for the Thessalonians to follow, he also gave some very specific instructions regarding work. He particularly focused his attention on those who were undisciplined and did not work. Look at what he says. He says, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching 9-12, but as touching brother love, ye not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But he said, we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and look, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You see that? Paul practiced what he preached, my brothers and sisters. Thessalonians, if you read Thessalonians 4:1-3, furthermore, we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In this text, the believer's motivation for working hard is brotherly love. It's not loving to let your brother work hard to support you when you are not working as you should. And so Paul commands the Thessalonians to strive to lead a quiet life and to mind their own business. Why the emphasis on living quiet? Because most labor is not done as well when the worker is carrying on a conversation with others. Something like distractions caused when driving while emailing and sending texts, my brothers and sisters. So Paul gave some great advice. If we study Paul's scriptures, if you notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-14, which we discussed already, he said, and we beseech you, brothers, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, look at this, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brother, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble mind, support the weak, be patient towards all men. As Paul began to conclude, 1 Thessalonians, he urged the saints to recognize, look at this, church leaders, elders, pastors. Notice the first thing Paul says would characterize those who should be formally recognized as leaders. These men are those who labor hard among them and who rule over them. He then urged the church to esteem them most highly in love because of their work. That's one of the things that should characterize a leader in any church is the fact that they work hard at caring for the saints in the church. This is a very critical observation that Paul is making here. 2 Thessalonians 3. My brothers and sisters, a lot of them don't. Leaders, they're not characterized by hard work. They just want to get a check. They're not concerned about the saints. My brothers and sisters, the freeloaders that Paul is dealing with are not people who refuse to work in any and every form. They are people who avoid one kind of work by becoming too busily engaged in other work. And to make this even more sinister, they would be inclined to call this other work ministry. Paul, it's clear that these freeloaders are engaged in work, but their work is not really productive. It is a pretext for gossiping and causing trouble. The admonition that one who is unwilling to work shall not eat concerns unwillingness rather than inability. As believers, it's important that we be known for our strong work ethic and helping those in true need. These people caused the problem. Weren't poor. They were not poor children or scam artists in a booming economy. They had work available. And based on the time and place Paul spoke, they presumably just blew some of it off. They just blew things off. They wasn't serious. They blew it off in what we would call an odd day and time. They blew it off with video games. They blew it off in our day and time, on the phone gossiping. They blew it off watching television in our day and time, all day and all night, on social media all day long, and just going from one house to the next, being nosy and seeing what was the latest gospel, what's the latest gospel. They were doing everything but working. I remember teaching on the slugger, the lazy person in the book of Proverbs. I realized that a slugger or a lazy person were not people who avoided work altogether. Slugger or lazy people in many cases are folks who work very hard at avoiding the work which they found too difficult or too taxing. And that's why I say a lot of these pastors and preachers that's over the assembly, they find studying and preparing messages, they find that too taxing. So they rather just throw anything together and come out and grab a few verses on Sunday and then go from there. But no time to study. My brothers and sisters. So what we have today is a generation of young folks, my brothers and sisters, who don't have a job but thinking that working at McDonald's, Burger King, or any other place that's hiring is beneath them. You know how it is when you don't have a car. You have to ask everyone for a ride here and there. You sure appreciate it when having a car, when you get one. Whether it came from father, mother, grandfather, or grandmother, whoever gave it to you, or you worked to get it, you are so thankful you don't have to ask for a ride everywhere. You would think that those who don't have a job would appreciate getting a job and making money. Having money would be having no money, because they are sluggers, and it shows. More and more saints confused sitting under lazy men of God. They are just confused because what they're getting is shoddy work. They're getting these pastors who just, only thing they're thinking about is the bottom line. It's sad to see many see working for a living through regular employment. It's just too hard. My wife and I often tell our daughter how hard we worked. I often tell and share with her how mom worked as a nurse and as a soldier, working long hours, and her dad working with troubled youth and in the mental health field. I told her I was the baddest. I worked at the airport. I told her I was the baddest bus boy when I worked at the airport in Michigan. I took pride in being a bus boy and washing dishes. Outside of us working, there was the work of the ministry and helping others. God always intended for us to work. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Once saved by the gospel, the grace of God, the lazy man may not produce a drastic overnight change in work ethic, but it will produce change in time if he gets into the word of truth right divided. And then, like Paul says, once you get into the word of truth, and once you get in Christ, like Paul said, those who stole, you steal no more. Now you go and work. It makes lazy men at long last into serious workers. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Once saved, they are finally liberated and divinely empowered to be ready for every good work and to devote themselves to good work. In Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey masters, and to be ready for what? To every good work. My brothers and sisters, if we just study, this is a day when young people feel entitled to a job that pays very well and provides all kinds of benefits. But more than this, they feel entitled to have a job that is fulfilling and fun. In reality, they want employment that avoids the curse which God had pronounced on Adam and all men due to sin. They don't want to work for those benefits. They just want them given to them. But if you read Genesis 3:17-19, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall I return. No wonder there were those in Thessalonica, not to mention everywhere else in the world, who sought some way of escaping the curse of hard labor. But man's calling and task was to work hard and to thereby provide for himself and his family. In reality, the Thessalonians ordained work before Adam sinned. And we saw that in Genesis 2:15. A society with freeloaders, sluggers, lazy people only make things harder on others. Satan used the dysfunctions, let me say that, in the homes, a society of disobedient children, abuse of every kind, the hatred, the violence, the love of the world, killings and murders, the confusion from not studying God's word, God's way. Satan is behind all these things with the sole purpose of keeping the glorious gospel of the grace of God hidden from the lost. Satan doesn't want the lost and those in the body of Christ who doesn't know God's will and purpose to know what God has done and what God is doing in the but now and what God has planned for the ages to come. Apostle Paul forewarned Timothy by the implication of what the last days in the dispensation of grace would be like. My brothers and sisters, if you read 2 Timothy 3:1-9, Paul laid out what it's going to be like, my brothers and sisters. So Paul spoke about the importance of work, my brothers and sisters. We are convicted of our need to provide for our families through our labor. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel, unbeliever, my brothers and sisters. So, the question is, do you have time for God and his word? Have you conformed to the world? Are you trying to persuade men of God? What is your study life like? Are you on milk or solid food? Are you feasting on the word of God right about? Is there a passion not for the religious fad, but for Christ and a greater knowledge of him? Are you teaching others the word? Are you focusing on the temporal instead of the eternal? And what Paul is saying, time to grow up. How do you grow up? How do you mature in the Christian life? You grow by the use and frequent study of the word of God right divine. Study it. You meditate on it. You put it into daily practice. No lamp is useful unless it is switched on and directed on one's path, on the details of one's life. We must know how to use our lamps. It is not really our lamp until we have studied it and are willing to apply it. The world is full of darkness, but the lamp of the word, God's truth, dispel the darkness of the world. It is instruction for us to know Paul's warning and commands. Where he warns us in Ephesians 5, where he warns that it's all too easy for us to walk in darkness, even though we are the children of light. It requires an active response and commitment to the word of God, right divided, before we expose our lives to the light of Scripture. Paul told us in Ephesians 5, 6 through 8, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We need to daily expose ourselves to the sunlight of God's holy word. The Bible is a perfect mirror. It reflects reality, the reality of what we are, a color photograph. We can be touched up here and there to hide a mole, wart, wrinkle, or scar, but a mirror shows us exactly what we are. The Bible as a mirror has a dual purpose or a dual reflection. God's word not only shows us who and what we are, but it also shows us the Lord Jesus, our example and goal. But this only happens as we learn to focus on him in the mirror of his word and walk by the Spirit. God wants us Christians, his children, to grow spiritually. He wants us to memorize scripture so that we can apply those scripture truths to their lives by studying our specifically using dispensational Bible study, rightly dividing the word of truth, my brothers and sisters. So we fail, my brothers and sisters. If we fail to be thankful to God, we fail to worship and serve the Creator more than the creature. But now we know we are just. Not seen, my brothers and sisters. So we're going to continue next week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. We pray that those who listen in tonight, we pray that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.